meeting to order of the Score Commission, 5 o'clock on October 27th, 2021. Roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Mastalotto.
Yes.
Commissioner Fairbanks.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Hatley.
Here.
Commissioner Riston.
Aye.
All here.
All right, will we all stand? And you can do this.
Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, number four, acknowledgement of visitors. Seeing none in the room, we'll move forward. Board meeting minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we provided the meeting minutes from last meeting in your packet.
I'll make a motion that we approve the board meeting minutes for September 29th, 2021.
Second.
The motion is seconded. Any questions about the motion? Not so. I guess we do the voice vote.
Yep.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Authorization of warrants.
Yes, I came in yesterday and went over the warrants with manager Sturdivant, and everything seemed to be in order. So I'll make a motion that we approve the warrants.
I'll second it.
The motion and seconded to approve the warrants as presented in the agenda. All signify by saying aye to approve.
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed? No. Passes. Fiscal reports.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. We included the September's fiscal reports in your packet for you guys to go over.
Anybody have any questions about report contents? No questions. I don't believe we need to vote on this. We just take it as information item only.
Yep.
Okay. Item number 8, review of the INIP charge resolution 09-21, a resolution establishing the formulas for determining infiltration and inflow surcharges and corresponding policy 7305.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So annually SCORE, the board at SCORE here looks at the INI peak charge and overage resolution. So basically what we do is we take the cost of the plant, what it costs to run the plant per million gallons, and then each entity is allowed 1,080 gallons per EDU. That's their peaking factor, and anything over that for a sustained 24-hour period is considered a peak, and there's a charge that goes per million gallons that you went over your allotted peak, and we included all that in the resolution as far as the formula and all that. So this year it went to $9,973 per million gallons of INI.
What was it last year?
$8,700, something like that. Cost just went up in the plant. So basically what we do is we take the yearly budget, we add it all in there and divide it up, and it works out. So this year's budget was a little higher than last year's budget, so therefore the INI surcharge is a little higher.
Any questions about the resolution or observations to make by our commissioners?
Is the format the same every year?
Yes. The only thing that changes is the costs.
Oh, okay.
Because of the budget changes.
Okay.
So now next year it'll be a little bit different. You guys will notice because we have to add in like the capital charges for the influent pump station. Now, obviously, not the full influent pump station, but just what would be attributed to INI. And I actually wanted to talk to you guys about this resolution. Personally, me and Mike have sat down and talked about it, and in this format, chances of any of the entities actually accruing the charge is not likely, because you'd have to have 24 hours of a peak, and that just doesn't happen. They just go up and then they come down 5 or 6 hours later. If we had a 24-hour peak, we might be underwater. But my thought process, and I wanted to run it by you guys on this, is the intention of this, I believe, was to, and I don't want to use the wrong words here, not punish, but fine the entities. You guys wanted to fine yourselves or charge yourselves if you went over. I don't really feel that that solves the problem. The reason that there is the problem is I&I, so I don't know why giving SCORE money out of your budgets that should be used to fix I&I would help you fix your I&I. It's just making SCORE have more money in our bank account. So I want to go with this one for the year because SCORE's done it, but I want to look at this over the course of the next year and try to figure out a better way with you guys that maybe if there was fees, it wouldn't be paid to SCORE, it would be put back into your own systems to fix the I&I problems that got you the fees in the first place.
So I have a question, if I can.
Yes, sir.
Is the fees based off of the fact that we went over and so it costs the plant more money to treat the extra water?
Yes. I mean, essentially.
Right.
But I don't think it pencils out to that.
Okay.
You know, like I said, what they basically did is they took the yearly budget, they divided it by million, how many million gallons we put, and said that's what the cost for a million gallons. Really, the only thing it costs is to run the pumps and pay an operator to be here. It does not cost $9,000 to run the plant for an extra million gallons. I can just tell you that it doesn't. I understand why they came up with it. I understand the point behind it. I just don't think it fixes the problem. I think it just, it doesn't, because then you guys got to pay SCORE, the entities pay SCORE, and then you still have to come up with money to fix the problems.
We talked about this a couple of years ago, didn't we? And didn't we budget ourselves or agreed to budget our entities so much for I&I repairs?
So we did do pipe patch replacement program here where SCORE provided matching funds,
yep,
up mm-hmm. to a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that system, I want to say it may have been extended at least once, and then it was coming up again, and we voted no,
right,
to extend it. I was on the board, and I was the one no vote at that time. It took majority, and I was the bad guy, if you will, and said, no, I think we've used enough of SCORE's money to help do this. It's on every member entity to budget for their capital improvement plans or for their you know, costly repairs of their facilities to keep up on that. So instead of spending $50,000 and you'd get, you know, $25,000 back, well then, budget 25, you're still spending the exact same amount of money. Keep up on your repairs, you're just not going to be able to spend as much money because SCORE isn't matching. And at the time, SCORE was providing the monies from the solar rebate,
yep,
is what was funding the member entities. The
Sunshine for Patches was the program.
Yeah. Right. So I don't remember us ever coming to an agreement of everybody would budget a certain amount out of their own budgets to fix it, but I know that was...
I think I remember the city, weren't we somewhere a million or a couple million into fixing I&I?
Yeah, the city spent a lot of money during the program to fix to fix much of I&I.
And Thermalito did too. I can't speak to Lilliput. I'm sure they did as well, but I just know.
And I remember that was almost a, I want to say, a point of contention here, because they were like, oh, well, Thermalito had a year head start. Well, we had gotten the pipe patches and was working on our system, and they're like, well, that's why they don't have as much. Well, we did it, but it wasn't that we were, you know, we just utilized it, and I think that was one that came up with the pipe patches is, you know, we went out, researched them, found them, said, yeah, these actually work well, and then if the other member...
I think we actually sleeved a lot of pipe, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a lot. I think part of the reason for the resolution is more of a, if you don't fix your system, then this will be the charge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kind of a not necessarily a penalty, but a, you know, it, hey, fix your system and we're happy. I think that's what the point of the resolution is in place, because, and I'll just say, the city had huge I-9 problems. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, it was ridiculous amounts, and there's been a considerable amount repaired and replaced. And then the recent work on Montgomery Street was a huge part of that, plus other parts, and then all the way up to, I think it took it all the way up to Grand Avenue, as I recall. So there's been a lot of patches done, and Mitchell Avenue was, or Poynton was a huge one, right in Dry Creek. So I think that's the point of the resolution here, is just, if you don't fix it, this is going to happen. And that's more of an incentive to make sure you fix it and not fall behind.
Well, Lopud has done a lot. And it's mainly because we can prove to the, we have the camera that goes up the laterals.
Yeah.
And so we started in Southside, and it's, the people have been generally more cooperative than we expected about making repairs to their pipes by the camera. And have you, any of you borrowed the camera?
We have a camera truck.
Yeah.
You have one too? Okay. I didn't know you had one. So anyway, it's, you know,
I know.
We've updated also.
We've got the water.
Yeah.
In the process. In fact, we even gave you some information about your piece of the pipe.
That's right.
We're still talking about that.
Yep. Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to talk to you guys about it, maybe get some direction, see if you were happy with it. If you didn't, if you weren't happy with it, then maybe me and Micah could dive in and try to figure out a better way to go about it.
I think your idea.
The goal is to fix the I-9, not necessarily make SCORE extra money, you know.
Yeah,
so
we're all making a concerted effort to to be responsible.
Yeah.
But if we don't word it as Chairman Pittman stated, what the spirit of the resolution is, if we don't word it that way, and we're not the people sitting at this table to remember that,
yes, sir,
what the spirit was, then it could lead to some tough stuff.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that we change the wording a little bit to reflect what Chairman Pittman
stated.
So I sit on a committee for Lake Orville for the laterals, and that's a bone of contention with the agents right now, because we were pushing for a point of sale in 2005. That was an issue for them. And what I was wondering is, for the other districts, do you have the same requirements that we have as far as the piping and the things that need to be used for the upgrades?
I was going to ask the other two entities that what their policy was on laterals, because I know that the city does not repair laterals.
Yeah.
And I have a personal bone to pick with that, because 18 years ago when I bought my house, all the curbs and gutters, I live up on Stamford Avenue, and all the curbs and gutters, all the concrete is broken up. They're the small curb, 2-inch, whatever it is, and throughout the neighborhood, and they're all broken up. And I went to the city and I said, I'm gonna put my own sidewalks in, 200 and some feet. It would be easier for me to put the curb and gutter in too. Don't touch that curb and gutter, or you'll be dealing with Caltrans. And I thought, Caltrans? What are they going to be doing up there? That Caltrans. So I thought, this, you know, there's something wrong here. And so I didn't touch it. And now I've had Roto-Rooter out 4 times in a month, because the lateral, the curb and gutter, has given way because of all of the cracks in the asphalt and the concrete. When it rains, it just runs underneath that asphalt and concrete. And my lateral has depressed. And so we ran the camera in, and it's 37 feet right at that depression where their concrete has given way. And the city has told me, well, it's our policy that you deal with your own lateral. Well, that's on your property, and I didn't have anything to do with it. That's not me driving out there. That's public traffic.
So. I don't quote me 100% on this, but I believe Thermalito's, it's from the property line to your house you're responsible for. Anything from your property line to the main is on
most places. Most places it's property line to, to some places though it's corp stop or the connection, the Y. Mm-hmm. All the way. It just depends.
Mine's on the other side of the street, so I'm responsible for all.
No, you couldn't be. I would think it. We can look into the ordinance, but I would assume it's property line.
No.
City, it's cities all the way
city,
to the main. Huh?
You're responsible lateral up to the main line.
Gotcha.
City. The idea is it's property line. Property I know line. I put hundreds of them in back when we first sewered way back when, and then LOPUD is a little different. I don't know if it's property line or service.
We go to the property line.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's written that way. But if it's out in the easement, we take care of it.
Yeah.
We prefer to do that.
Well, yeah. It's there's not uniformity. I mean, it is. And
I can't believe the years isn't to the property line. That's no, crazy that it's to the actual connection. Yeah.
A lot of times cities don't like to do that because then you open yourself up with somebody else messing with your main.
Right.
You know, because if I have to pay to fix it, and then I got it, now you got Joe Plumber messing with your main.
Right.
And that's, a plumber is not a collection system expert.
Well, it was very smart is at the property line, they required a Y and a cap and a be able to check it at the property line.
Which Y had, which is, I put mine in up.
Yeah, and so that was never done with the city at all. So there's no, I mean, where the property line is just, there's no access to
no
it.
Market.
So,
gotcha.
There smartly, they did it so that you could tell if this problem is on them or on you. it's something to work on as a good question, Andy, in the future, that we all have a safe summer. But I know in the city's case, it's going to be a problem to, because we've had lawsuits over sewer laterals. And the fact that we require backflow check valves on them, and that's because of the low-lying level of the river and the water table infiltration issue. So it just gets into a real.
Yeah.
And Scott knows the case I'm talking about.
Yeah. The 11-year case.
Yeah, the 11-year case.
Although it did get a Supreme Court ruling in our favor.
Yeah, that's true.
The issue with laterals is a little bit more complex than just that, because if you've got the like what Chuck just brought up, it depends on who owns the curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and I don't mean just own it, but I mean who has to maintain it.
Because it Caltrans in my neighborhood.
So that because if that's all broken up and depressed, and you have water damage from that, the argument is, well, the lateral was just fine. It was the damage from above that caused it, to sink. So we'll have to dig into that one. That's a separate issue. But
Meanwhile, I've got Roto-Rooter out every week and a half or 2 weeks.
You got him on retainer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, what should we do with this resolution? Do you want to amend it now or pass it now, and then next year?
If you'd like me and Mr. Huber to look at the language and try to tighten it up for you, we can bring it back next month. I got no problem. I'll do whatever you guys would like.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that.
Just for clarification purposes, you want it tightened up. Tell me what you were looking to tighten up on it.
Well, repeat Chairman Pittman, the spirit of the resolution is just to make sure that we're all maintaining a responsibility of repairing our I&I. And this is the hammer that's in the drawer. It doesn't come out of the drawer first. If people aren't following the good spirit of the resolution, then we would have to imply the penalty.
And leave the amounts the same. Leave the penalty amount the same, just in case it.
Yeah, I think that's
fine. Okay.
So through all that rhetoric, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll bring that one back next month.
I just try to, because we're all here and we all know what was said and what the spirit of things were, but we've got to, in my opinion, I'd like to come into something and go, what did they mean? What were they thinking? I'd just like it to be clear.
Mm-hmm. So the intent is not to be punitive, but in the event that one of the agencies doesn't take care of their responsibility to fix INI, then this will
That's the purpose of this.
Impose some financial responsibility for that excess INI.
Right. That's right. And what is the scale for implementing that? Is it do we have a measurement there where somebody's not? Is there warnings? What are we doing? How do we get to that point?
Other than once it happens and then I alert the entities, there's no real way to tell, to warn if it's going to happen. And like I said, they came up with a peaking factor. So each EDU is allowed 260 gallons regular flow. And then they came up with a peaking factor, which was four times that. So that gives it 1,040 gallons. So if you got one EDU and you go over 1,040 gallons, you're over your peak.
Well, I believe the city's monitoring the fifth street well, because one of our big problems was the county offices, in particular the jail. There was huge INI issues coming through that, and the jail was built and there wasn't really oversight on how the sewer system was put together there. Funny that it is, we put special monitors in that pump station to know what it was during storms.
There's flow meters in there, and Chris from Thermalito is over there, right, Making sure they're calibrated and everything like that.
That's good.
So back to Lake Gorville and the INIs that we're losing through the pipe. How are we calculating what we're losing so we're not penalized?
I don't think that SCORE could penalize Loa Putt until that line is fixed.
Okay.
Because there is no way. There is no way for me to be able to tell how much of that is SCORE's responsibility, INI, or Loa Putt's responsibility.
Okay.
I mean, there's just no, the only way we could do it is we would have to put a flow meter in your line up above that crack in that section of pipe, and then subtract that from what we get out of your Loa Putt flow meter, and then that would be your actual flow, and the difference would be the SCORE INI.
I just wanted to clarify.
So really, there's no way without some monetary investment and some work, and by next winter that should be fixed. So we're in the process of right now getting some proposals and some quotes from some engineering firms like you guys asked to get that fixed. So my hope is that that's fixed by next winter and that won't be an issue anymore.
I have another question real quick from Andrew Sturman. When's the last time that any member entity was charged?
I believe when I was the foreman, the city was charged. So that would be 2017. I believe the city is the only one that I know of that has paid. I believe Loa Putt was billed, and then the board voted for them not to pay. That's happened since I've been here.
But haven't we been in a drought since 2017?
Yeah, we haven't had a bunch of rain since 2017. Yeah, that was the last big rain year was 2017.
I think we had 25 million that year or something.
Yeah, we did. We had a couple of 25 million events. 2017, I think, and it was the city. Since I've been at SCORE, Thermalito has not blown its peak or excess. But that I came right after the Sunshine for Patches program. I just finished, or actually it was its last year. It was my first year here at SCORE.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of that work had been done.
Okay.
And like I said, I think it was just the city's the only one, and Loa Putt may have accrued a charge, but they didn't.
We'll look for that item to come back on agenda.
I have one other question. What's the difference between a patch and a sleeve?
So a patch is if you have a hole, mm-hmm, and then you just put a patch on top of it, or a full circle clamp. There's many with different ways.
Oh, okay.
A sleeve is where they will run like a soft, basically a hose that's inside out, and they will just push it in there and it will line the inside of the pipe.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's just called slip lining.
Okay.
Item number 9, resolution 10-21, a resolution ratifying the determination of a positive annual evaluation for manager and authorize a raise pursuant to the employment agreement and approve the letter submitted by Chairman Pittman for his personnel file.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, so last month during closed session, you guys approved my positive review.
Actually, let me, do me a favor. For Government Code 1090 purposes.
Yes, sir.
Since you're a contract employee, let me do this one. Because I don't want any government code problems for him. Okay. At the last meeting, there was a positive evaluation that was done. We were directed to bring back this resolution in writing, so it's in resolution in writing, so we can point to it that A, there was a positive evaluation, and B, that there's an annual pay increase of 5% as prescribed in his contract. So there is no question that the board approves it, votes on it. Here it is. And then it'll be in the minutes, and of course the resolution will be signed. Anytime you deal with a general manager or an executive director or a CEO position who gets an increase in pay or a positive evaluation, you always want to document it in some form so that if anybody questions it down the road, you can pull out a document and say, here it is, we voted on it. And so that's the purpose of this. But this is really just a ratification of what happened at the last meeting.
If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution number 10-21.
I'll second it.
Motion and seconded. Any questions on the vote before we move forward? Then I'll call for all in favor of the motion.
Aye.
Should we aye. Roll call on a resolution?
Yeah, let's do a roll call.
Okay, roll call.
Okay, Commissioner Fairbanks.
Yes.
Commissioner Reynolds.
Yes.
Commissioner Hatley.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thanks, sir.
And thank you for the great job.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right. Next, item number 10, water reuse and recycling direction.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So the board was gracious enough to send me and Plant Supervisor Salcy to the water reuse conference in September. We learned a great deal. And I just wanted to have a discussion with you guys and get some direction on how I should move forward. My thought process is we heard through the county that in November, December, they should be having some planning funds available. And so I wanted to apply for a feasibility study for reuse for SCORE. I just wanted to make sure that you guys were on board and I had your backing to spend our time and effort applying for that funding. If we got denied, then we'd have to have another conversation if the board felt that we wanted to spend SCORE's money on the feasibility study. But I obviously we should go for the grant money first before we have that conversation. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys were okay with me and Mr. Salcy taking time and effort out of our day to go after that free money.
I think it's a good idea. We just dump the water back in the river, so one day we ought to be able to get something back in return of cleaning it up. And
I agree.
I think the technology is there for this type of activity. Personally, I think there's a tipping point we have to watch for. Is when does it become profitable for us to get into that? That's the tipping point. Certainly, we outflow, what, 3 million gallons a day?
About 2.5 million gallons a day.
2.5 million gallons a day, and it's just going to the river and providing water for Yuma City and mm-hmm. Sacramento or everybody else. So.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is the state of California sells it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the truth of it. So, yeah. It's the citizens of the fee payers of SCORE's water.
Right.
They paid to pump it out of the ground. They drank it. They paid for us to treat it, paid to pump it here. And then the state's making money off of it after they charge SCORE money to put it in the river and charge SCORE money to test it and charge money for at every turn and then they sell it.
That's
so
pretty good gig.
It's
there.
Definitely a good gig. The state knows what they're doing when it comes to getting money.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing when it comes to spending it too. But
I think the board's very interested. I mean, I know I'm interested in one day at an important time that we can actually, receive some profit from that outflow. Mm-hmm.
So do I.
Sounds good. So we'll go after the grant money then.
And item number 11, attorney's report.
I have nothing to add.
Nothing to add.
Yep.
All right. That's a good thing. Item number 12, manager's report.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. So October 1st, we began operating under our new MPDS permit. Not a whole lot of change. One of the reasons there was not a whole lot of change, and I put this in my manager's report, is because SCORE is being so proactive with the upgrade and things of that nature. The state doesn't feel that they need to put the hammer on us because we're taking care of the issues ourselves and trying to be ready for those future regulatory requirements. So it was actually a really good meeting with the state, me and Micah had, and they were just like, we're really happy with the way SCORE is going about its business and the way SCORE is being proactive, and that we don't have to come in and yell at you guys to come do this stuff. So it was actually a really good meeting and a nice permit for SCORE, where they didn't do a whole lot of stuff that was going to cost us a ton of extra money. So that was good. The influent pump station project, as you guys can see, is fully underway. Their hole got full this last weekend as well. So they're pumping that out currently. I included a progress report done by Coleman Engineering, a monthly progress report. So it talks about the budget. It talks about what they've got done and that they're on schedule. They're actually well ahead of schedule, so that's good. So I included that with your board report. It's got some nice pictures on there. Also, Plant Supervisor Salcy has been adding pictures to the website. So if you guys wanted to look at the website and check the progress there, you can always do that as well. I wanted to clarify the meeting date changes. So last board meeting, I made a mistake when we moved the meetings to November 17th and December 15th. I said the December 15th meeting would be at 10 a.m. That was a mistake. This December 15th meeting will start at 11 a.m. followed by the luncheon. I was an hour ahead of schedule. So I'm sorry, I wanted to correct that so you guys could adjust your calendars. And that's it for the manager's report.
The water that's in there, was that groundwater or rainwater?
Combination, I believe. Yeah, it came up really fast. So we were down here, we had about 18 million flowing at the highest flows, and we walked up there to try to get one of the auxiliaries to go. That was about 2 o'clock, and there was no water in the hole. Took us a little time to get primed up and going. By the time we turned around and walked by the hole, there was a foot and a half of water in the hole. We walked into the influent pump station, did some adjustments there, walked out of there, and there was 3 feet of water in the hole, and we got on the horn with the contractor and said, hey, they had a mini X in the bottom of the hole. It went under. They didn't get here in time. Micah tried to go out there and get a pump going, but you know, we had our own priorities. We had to take care of the facility. We couldn't worry about taking care of the contractor's equipment. We did what we could for him, but.
What's a mini X?
A mini excavator.
But it buried the mini X.
It went underwater. Yeah. The contractor, or the superintendent, Gene, showed up. He was bowling with his wife, so him and his wife showed up and scrambled to get down in there. And
his wife ran the excavator while he went swimming and hooked it up and used the big excavator to pull the mini excavator out. But by that time, the water was already up to the top of the cage of the mini excavator.
Wow. So it ruined the computer. They're pretty sure that they'll get all the mechanical stuff dried out and ready to go, but they're going to be $4,000 on a new computer. So. That got interesting, but yeah, so other than that, I got nothing.
I'll tell you, Manager Sturdivant, it sure is nice to have good, positive outlook, and because I think most of us sit here through the gloom and doom reports, and yeah, I really appreciate your positive outlook and
of course, I mean, everything. Yeah, our job is to get it fixed, and I don't know about stomping my feet and hanging my head. That's not going to make it go any quicker.
Holy cow. It's like putting on a lead coat.
Exactly, yeah. So we're just here to help the entities, you know, in any way we can. So.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you mention that there was some training going on here? Did that actually happen?
So it didn't happen.
That's right.
We couldn't do it because of the storm. So I had to call. It was Ed Rangel. He works for Cal OES. They wanted to have on-site hazmat training because we have gaseous chlorine. We're one of the few places that actually has it. But it just, schedule-wise, it didn't work out. Their training was ending before we would be available to do it. And, you know, I was like, we got the storm of the century coming.
I think it's interesting that it was Cal OES that wanted to come here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to, because it would have been valuable training for our guys as well.
Sure.
It just didn't work out.
Was it Micah that got his grade four?
It was. So Micah got his grade four.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I was going to say that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for reminding me. Micah Salcy got his grade four, as well as our lead operator, Mitch Maxwell.
Oh, really?
He got his grade four as well. So,
is he the gentleman from Georgia?
No. We can talk about the gentleman from Georgia a little bit later. We got other things going.
So now that you have three grade fours here, don't answer phone calls from strange numbers.
That's right. They'll be trying to steal it, that's for sure.
They'll be trying to steal your guys.
All right, thank you. Good report.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes. Congratulations, Mike.
Well deserved. Well deserved. He worked his butt off to get that.
Item 13 indicates visitor comments. Seeing no visitors, there's no comments. So I'll see. Item 14, commissioner and staff comments. Anyone?
Yeah, I have one.
Sure.
Lopet has been contacted by the state of California, and they want to put the sewer down to Palermo, and they're offered to pay all the bills for doing that, and they're asking where they would dump the sewerage. Is going to be one of the answers. So this is a long project. It's not going to, they're trying to get it all together so that they can start construction in 2024.
Really?
Wow. And so we've been involved in that at our last meeting and had a presentation from the state, and the county is aware because they're part of it, and but I didn't know if the city and TID was part, you know, had known about it. So we're moving forward with that. They want to know if we would be using this facility, or would they're down in Palermo, they would be a facility down there to be able to process the sewerage and take it out to the river.
Yeah, we've been working with Keith, the engineer.
Yeah, Keith is our engineer.
We've been working with him pretty good on that project, giving him our take and our flow data and our information and what it would take to bring it to score. They asked us our opinion if we thought a satellite plant would be a good idea. Obviously, that's a board decision. And that's what I told him. I said, I'm not in a position to decide whether a score wants to open up a second plant down in Palermo. That's way above my grade. I do know that the state is really pushing for regional facilities, so they're probably not going to be in favor of that plan, because then you'd have another discharge point into the Feather River. They already have one here with us. They would probably prefer, especially that Palermo is going to be absorbed by Lopet, and Lopet's already a member. So I foresee the state pushing for that to come to score. So we've been in contact with Keith and kind of told him what that would take, because it would take, we don't have the capacity. But we would have the capacity right this at this time, but by 2024 and the build out that we're all talking about that's happening with all the development, I don't think there will be the capacity. So we've kind of told him what we think monetarily score would need to accommodate that. With the plant expansion, we would. So currently, right now we have about 1,800 available EDUs. The plant expansion will add another 1,800 available EDUs. I think Keith was thinking that it was going to be around 600 EDUs for Palermo. So,
My mind originally started thinking is, well, does the state want to kick down some money for the
we're trying to do. We're trying to work that angle to say, hey, we think the best idea is to bring it to score and use that money to help expand score, not only for Palermo, but for the rest of the community as well.
Right.
So that's the angle that we're kind of working on. We haven't got to the point where I felt like I, needed direction from you guys, because it's in the very preliminary stages, and they've talked about sewering Palermo for 20 years. And it keeps getting to a certain stage and then it stops. So we're hoping that now that they're starting to get coliform hits in their wells, and stuff like that is happening out there, that the state's going to be pretty motivated to actually make this thing happen. So, yeah, that's one of our other little funding opportunities we're looking at, is trying to get money via Lilliput and Caramel.
Second thought, my first thought was, what do they want?
Yeah.
Why so gracious?
Yeah, I think it's just because it's becoming a problem with the failing septic systems out there, and then once they got those coliform hits in wells, that people can't drink out of those wells anymore, and if that keeps happening, Palermo's not going to have water. So
the septic systems are screwing up their drinking water.
That's right. So yeah. South Feather, I believe, is going to be their water purveyor, is the way that it's looking like it's going to happen, and Lilliput will be their collection system agency. And then SCORE would be there.
Did you say you only think if we had Palermo online, we're only talking about 600 EDUs?
Initially, with the first, because they're just talking Palermo proper, and then their plan would be to build it out and stretch it out. So potentially it could be a lot more than that, but
yeah.
At the very beginning it would be 600. But they got a lot of hoops to jump through. That's a lot of work for them to do.
A lot of water problems with sewerage because there's a high water table in the flat lands between the city and
Long Lake,
out there on Palermo Road and
right.
all those scattered places, and there was pretty much 100% grants.
It was because it was a lower income area, and so the state
qualifies.
We qualify. I don't know about improving SCORE for the whole community. I think it would be they would be focusing on like the lower income Palermo only.
Well, they have to expand the plant to take in the Palermo, so the rest of the community will
benefit.
Yeah, I mean that's just the way it's worded.
The county's going to have to deal with those septic tanks that they're not reaching out to. However, they're in between, so there wouldn't be a problem of putting the lines in after the initial. Again, it's a poor area, and the finances and the families that are there are.
Oh, have you seen Sal Rodriguez's house?
there is some precedent for.
There are exceptions.
When you look at the deal that the state brokered with Paradise to take the sewer line all the way down to Chico.
Yeah.
They went to Chico and said, "You're going to take their wastewater. We're going to expand your plant for you." And so Chico is getting, I think with the upgrades that they're getting and the expansion that they're getting, they're going to ultimately quadruple their capacity.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sort of where the light bulb goes on is, hey, if we can get the state to kick down some money for the expansion, between an expansion and upgrading what you've got, you may really expand your capacity quite a bit, predominantly on the backs of the state.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're hoping.
There's also some interesting things as the city obviously would be a great partner in that, but the right of way out to South Villa, where the purple 12-inch line is, would be a perfect sewer trunk line to bring right into the plant because it comes right over here, and the city does own that right of way. It goes along the railroad that the cannery uses for their outflow line. You know what I'm talking about.
I know all about it. I had to repair it a few times.
That wonderful purple line. Yeah. But that just makes, because it's kind of like a gradient, perfect place for the trunk line to be and bring it right into the plant because it goes right in here. So there's a lot of good things that could come about from that. I think my only concern is just to make sure that we maintain and have capacity for the plant.
Yep.
I would hope if they're going to put the lines in, they got to fix us here too. I mean, that's the good thing that we're already in the mode already. So would we have the acreage here to expand?
Oh yeah. So what they would need to do in that was probably another aeration basin and another clarifier. So yeah, we got more than enough acreage for that. Because we'll already have the pumping capacity. That with the new inflow pump station, the pumping capacity will be here. It would be the actual biological treatment that we would need to
increase.
But that would just be another aeration tank and another clarifier, and off to the races.
Good item, D. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Good call. I just want to apologize for not being here last month. That's the first meeting I've missed, and I felt
I thought you were mad at them.
How could that ever happen? I'll be honest, I got home and took my boots off and sat down and put my feet up and went, I got a score. And it was like 10 minutes to 5. So it didn't look like it was a pressing agenda, so I apologize.
Well, the meeting went very smooth without you.
That is what I was worried about. Now you know.
In fact, not to put too fine a point on it, but it was over a whole lot sooner.
Did you find a general manager yet?
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
Do you know something, Dave?
No, I don't know anything. I just know you were looking for one, that's all.
Okay. Well, I wanted to thank you two guys for that tour that you did for the real estate agents.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
It went over really good, and they're still talking about the laterals. And yeah. One thing that I really loved is that everyone started asking a lot of questions. And, you know, Glenn's just the point. I mean, he did a great job. So if you have any people that are interested in that, they loved it, and I'm going to set up another one.
Cool.
But the laterals are really important. And when they see how this whole plant works, it really gives them an idea of how this works in our community. So
yeah,
I appreciate
no problem.
That.
We're all about educating the public. It's fun for us.
It definitely is, yeah.
So. Well, it also is an aspect that, I mean, even Loafer Creek is on this plant. So people don't realize the outreach and the amiga of lines that we have out there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Palermo's no big deal. I mean, really, it's not. I mean, when you're already out of Loafer Creek.
Yeah, I mean,
Taylor Ridge,
Palermo, yeah, they're just right there.
It's not that big a deal, I mean, really, but it's expensive, I mean, certainly. And happy to have the state pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, nice to see our taxes come back for something.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, any other commissioner reports?
I'm good.
All right. I guess that the next item up is for adjournment. Have a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion.
He makes a motion.
Second.
I'll say it up by saying aye.
Aye.
And I don't hear any opposed, so we are adjourned at 5:47 p.m. Thank you all.
Mikey, congratulations.